Hello, welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the disoriented voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Hello, Matthew. I think you'll find it's disorientated. I'm pretty sure about that.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it's disorientated. I mean, this is a thrilling start to the show, but anyone can help us, please do.
Okay, yeah, if that's what you want to get in touch with us about, then correct us on that one. But you were disoriented or disorientated, as you like to call it. I don't actually know this story, so I'm looking forward to this because I've got a feeling this is going to be another shambles in the life of Richard Lee.
That was a shambles. It's not a particularly good story, other than I went to watch Watford-Brentford the other night, my two former clubs. Watford, the stadium's a mile down the road, and I got lost getting to the stadium. That's effectively the story. The start, the middle, and the end.
What do you mean? How? So you live in Watford.
I live in Watford, right. So I had,
and you played at Watford. You used to play at the ground.
17 years, yeah. So, no, part of it is the fact that there's a lot of building that's happened since I've left the club. It actually, what it was a stark reminder as to how the football club has changed since I left the football club. So, essentially, what happened is I went to the top of the ground. They had lots of people there, and they said, no, sir, you can't come in this way. You have to go in down the bottom. And there's a sort of a secret way down the bottom, which I did year after year after year. But then when I drove away, I suddenly remembered that I'd forgotten how to get to the bottom of the ground. And so I then tried one way, it was the wrong way, tried the next way. So essentially to do a 1 mile journey took me 35 minutes in the end, yeah. And I was late and they weren't overly happy when I turned up because I was doing like TV duties for the Hive, the show that they do on a match day, and I turned up late.
The people that, the stewards that were redirecting you didn't recognise you, no? Weren't aware who you were?
It's been a while, mate. It's been a while. Quickly forgotten. And actually, do you know what? At that club, this came up on the conversation we had. There's only Ben Foster and Tom Cleverley, technically, but only Ben Foster there now. Like, the whole club has changed. One or two staff members as well, but incredible how quickly things change.
There we go. Okay. Mm. It kind of lived up to its billing, I suppose, in some ways, that story. You, in other news, have caused a bit of a stir, haven't you, Richard, with some tweeting that went out after our last podcast.
Yeah, interesting. Mm. We put out a tweet, a Jordan Pickford tweet, just more to get people's opinions. But certain people did see quite negatively to it that we were potentially digging him out. But I actually genuinely wasn't. And I'm going to explain my thinking. So those that haven't seen the tweet, do you want to give an explanation as to what the tweet said and was?
So it just fed off the back of what we discussed on the podcast about Jordan Pickford's performance against Chelsea in Everton's victory over Chelsea. And there was one moment in particular where he made a very good save down to his right from Reece James, which he palmed onto the post. But you brought up the fact that he had that arm swing, an arm swing that we've seen before with the likes of Kepa, with the likes of Manuel Neuer, I believe may have done it in the past as well, and Marc-Andre Ter Stegen all produced the arm swing. That is naming just a few, by the way. There are many goalkeepers that adopt this stance. So we paused it at point of impact and just put it out there and said, what do we make of his stance? So we got a bunch of tweets back. Mm. I'll read through them because there's quite a few. So I'm going to rifle through these quite quickly and then you can react to it a bit more, I suppose. Stephen at Stig 1991, like the Kasper Schmeichel chest catch, if it works for him, why change now? Not very often you see the other hand on the floor, though. That's quite an interesting point because when he dived, his left hand was on the floor, had kind of arced over and was on the floor. Ollie Swaby says, don't see the point of it. Yes, it's meant to give you the power and more distance, but especially with the hands, it's going to take longer to get low, medium or high. Just stay with the normal stance. Shane Ryan, can I ask a genuine question? Has Pickford purposefully changed his technique a few times since we saw him at Sunderland with that robotic style stance? I've seen him with his hands down by his sides also since then. Is this premeditated? Adam Darkin says, doesn't give him the maximum amount of time to react and slows down how quickly he can use his feet. Would personally never use it. Peter Wilson, Pickford's stance is generally poor. He anticipates what might happen, therefore can look good at pens and stupid on one-on-one cases. His stance generally isn't great. Ross Raphael, it's inefficient, so it can only serve to set up more spectacular looking average saves. Samuel Taylor, this is a good point, from working with God knows how many coaches over 18 years now, I don't think there is any right or wrong way to be set as long as you keep the ball out. Different set positions have their own advantages and disadvantages. FC Liverland Elite under 10s say the gunslinger technique. It's mad that it hasn't been coached out of him as a kid. It obviously works for him, but it's proven to cost a split second and will probably cost him more than it should. Justin Bryant responded to that and said, at impact, no goalkeeper has any idea where the ball is going. You recognise that a split second later, by which time any exaggerated arm swing or jump into set has normalized. Just a couple more. FKA Falafel says he has very fast reactions, so it works for him. But I was taught set on your toes, knees bent, hands level with the waistline to allow for quick movement in any direction. Liam Castle's save was made and works for him. In my opinion, it gave him momentum to get fingertips onto the ball. Not perfect from a coaching and technique point of view. Would he have made the save if starting perfectly? And lastly, Peter Hucker. And therein lies the problem. People are more worried about him standing the GKFA badge way other than him making a great save.
Well, there you go. Quite a reaction.
And a good reaction.
Yeah, no. No, indeed. Look, it was a varied response, and it's exactly what we want. So firstly, a massive thank you for so much correspondence, as we seem to be getting more and more now, which is brilliant. So where I want to go with this is not necessarily talk about whether it's right or wrong. The bit that interested me, and it was the tweet from Samuel Taylor that I'll probably touch on, where he's mentioned the fact that there are the advantages and disadvantages. As an example, imagine that you were set for a shot and there was no movement whatsoever. You were in the, as one person said there, the FA textbook position, where you were shoulder width apart with your feet, you had your hands by your side, and there was no movement whatsoever. And now you're trying to react to this ball. Well, if you don't have the little hop before it, if you don't have any arm swing, you don't then have the power. It's the counter movement that brings the power. So in the same way that a golf swing, you know, a question for you, why don't golfers, for instance, just start at the top of the swing? Why do they go back to then come through? It's the counter movement that gives you the power. So in the same way as a goalkeeper, the more that you hop, the more power you get. But of course, the more that you hop and the more that you hop before you set, the more chance there is of mistiming your set and not getting the correct dive away in order to make the save. It's the same with the arm swinging back. I had a lot of arm movement, I'll be honest. And for me, it was a case of, if you time it correctly, of course, the momentum you get as you do it is going to allow you to get that little bit further. So the point is, there is no right or wrong. But of course, with more of a hop, with more arm movement, yes, you'll get more power, but it's going to be that little bit tougher to get the coordination. Now, in this case here, he was able to get the touch and touch it onto the post. So absolutely, we need to credit the save. Interestingly, we're going to talk about Pickford again quite a bit today, given that he was left out of the team and a couple of interesting comments in regards to that. But for me, in this particular moment, of course, we credit the save. And I think we did quite rightly in the previous podcast, we did credit the save. But it just, for me, is a very interesting point. As a goalkeeper, what side of the line do you fall on? You know, if you're going to talk about a spectrum, some goalkeepers that are incredibly conventional in the style in which they keep goal, and then you see others that are the other end of the spectrum. Again, there is no right or wrong. We've seen goalkeepers throughout the years that have their own intricacies, their own idiosyncrasies, the likes of Peter Schmeichel. A lot of what he did wasn't textbook, but it was effective. So it was more to spark debate, which I think it certainly did.
So the counter movement aspect you mentioned there, you started talking about a golf swing.
Yeah.
Can you just elaborate on that?
Yeah. So for me, you consider the action of the swing. When you think of it logically, why don't golfers just start the swing from the top? Why don't they go back, hold the position, and then just swing through? It's that counter movement. And it's the same in so much in what you do in sport. And certainly as a goalkeeper, it's very much about the counter movement. That hop when you set, why is there even a hop? Why not just be starting from a real set position on the floor? It's because you've got no momentum, that counter movement, in order to get the spring away. Similarly, if you're too robotic with your hands, you're not able to fling your arms in the way that you want and get that extra yard that might be the difference between making the save and not. For me, I think when I played, I was probably always somewhere in the middle. For instance, I had the little Shay Given one, that I'd call it, where you touch your hands together before you set. And that was like a little cue for me. It was like, touch my hands together, get myself into that set position with the bit of the hop, and then explode off that. That was my kind of my set. Now, for each goalkeeper, every goalkeeper is going to have a slight difference. I'll tell you a really good example, actually, was, without going into golf too much, Jim Furyk, for those older listeners, they'll probably remember. He had this crazy, crazy golf swing. But what was key with Jim Furyk was, at the point of impact of hitting the ball, he was exactly the same as a Tiger Woods, for instance. But at the top of his swing, he kind of moved the club all over the show. It was so bizarre. If you ever, it might even be worth Googling it if you want to know what I'm talking about. But the whole point was that at the point that he hit the ball, he was the same as everybody else. It's kind of the same with goalkeeping. Like, with all these things you want to do, as long as when the ball is struck, you're getting back into a more conventional set position, you're landing, your hands are coming back to neutral, and you're able to explode from there, it doesn't matter too much. But it is just finding what's comfortable for you.
It's a good way, actually, to encourage some responses from people. Goalkeeper quirks, I suppose, because we see it a lot with certain goalkeepers. You mentioned you clap your hands together. I saw last night Neil Etheridge, before he made the penalty save that we're going to talk about a bit later on, in Birmingham's defeat at Cardiff, his former club. He just moved his hands out, a bit like Jordan Pickford, incidentally, does when he is facing a penalty or sometimes when he's facing a free kick or just generally shots. He kind of puts his hands out in that robotic mode a little bit. Neil Etheridge did that before his penalty. Slightly different, Lukas Fabianski, when he takes goal kicks, he does that weird skip, doesn't he, and whacks his boots together. What's that all about? Do you have any goalkeeping quirks? Let us know. Hello at goalkeepersunion.net, on Twitter at GK Union. And actually, a brand new way of contacting us, Richard.
We have indeed. We have got exciting news. So we have been saving up over the past few weeks. A big thank you to our patrons who have allowed us to do this. And we have now saved up enough money that we have got ourselves a mobile phone. It's one of these iPhones. It's very nice. It's even on a contract, 24-month contract. So we need to be doing this show for at least another 24 months. But we are now going to be accepting, what, text, voice notes? It's just another way to contact us.
Yeah, so think of it as a GKU burner phone as such. Only less line of duty, criminal-esque, and less Nokia 3210-y. It is a smartphone. We can receive WhatsApps. So that's the point, really. I don't know. But maybe you're slightly sick of hearing the same two voices week in, week out. So we'd like to encourage debate. We want to encourage discussion like we have done on Twitter, but with some new voices. So there are going to be some slight rules, some stipulations. We want your voice notes about anything that you've seen in the goalkeeping world. If it is an incident from the weekend or the midweek action, let us know what you think. Give us your analysis of the save, but ideally keep it under 30 seconds if you can.
Right, guys, pen and paper at the ready. The number is coming up. I'm sure we'll be giving this number on Twitter, I'm sure at some point. But here we go. It is 07503 673 020. Obviously, we'll look to include as many as we can in the various shows, certainly when we're talking about points of interest from the latest round of games, and we're looking forward to hearing your thoughts.
We are. Do you want to just read that one more time? You read that quite quickly.
I did. Should I do it with like a bit of rhythm?
Go on then.
Here we go. 07503 673 020.
It's even quicker.
Sorry, I'll do it a bit slower. 07503 673 020.
Perfect. Lovely stuff. On with the show. Plenty to get through as per Richard. Not all the games are done. There are games this evening, of course, but we're sticking to our Thursday schedule. So hopefully nothing too important happens in those games. First up, we are going to head over to Craven Cottage, where Brighton bagged a clean sheet in a 0-0 draw with Fulham. But more to the point, Robert Sanchez bagged a clean sheet back in for his second Premier League appearance in place of Matty Ryan. We had a question, incidentally, in about this before the game had taken place. Rad Reynolds tweeted us in and said, "Hi, I'd love to hear your thoughts on Matty Ryan's form this season. He's getting a lot of criticism from Brighton fans, and there's an increasing pressure for Sanchez to be called in. I don't think he's making errors leading to goals, but his shot-to-goal ratio is getting worrying. His height doesn't help, as of course, and that's easy ammunition to use when criticising him. Our form in 2020 has been woeful, just 5 wins, and with the lack of goals being scored, there's extra pressure on the keeper to be perfect. I'd be very interested in hearing your thoughts. As an Australian-born goalkeeper coach, I feel I may be very biased towards supporting him."
It fascinates me, the Matt Ryan situation. Look, we talk about a lot of different goalkeepers and the narrative that surrounds them. Now, for a long time, the narrative surrounding Matty Ryan has been incredibly positive. But I agree, something has shifted this season. And I feel a bit sorry for him because I don't think he's necessarily done anything wrong for it to shift. You know, he's been solid enough in the performances that I've seen. I do think that the way that Graham Potter wants to play when it comes to the distribution side of things, perhaps he would prefer a goalkeeper that is slightly better with his feet. Not that Matty Ryan's poor with his feet by any stretch of the imagination, but I get the impression that a Graham Potter really wants to play total football, and you get the impression that someone like Robert Sanchez might be that little bit more accomplished with his feet, and that might be a reason that he is starting to give him a bit more game time. I think as well you tend to find that when a team isn't doing brilliantly, they will look to find reasons as to why that is. I don't think Matty Ryan's necessarily the reason as to why that is. You touched on the fact that they haven't scored many goals. Personally, I'd be looking there as opposed to looking at the goalkeeper, certainly given that there haven't been any major errors that I can think of off the top of my head where I'm saying, oh, he's having a really tough time. Agreed, he's not necessarily making the number of saves that he's made previously. But do I think that the criticism he's receiving is justified? Not personally. I do actually get a lot of the... I make a point, I think I've said this to you, Matthew. I'm a bit of a goalkeeping geek, where I have the Google alerts on every single goalkeeper in the UK. So I get lots of information coming through. And I'm very aware that the narrative has shifted on Matty Ryan from a fan's perspective. There is also the fact that, similar to the likes of Hugo Lloris and some of the others I touch on quite regularly, I'll use that word again, over-familiarity. Are we now at a point where Matty Ryan, for the best of his career, should move on?
Yeah, good point. Attributes-wise, Graham Potter said he has pretty much everything you need to be a top goalkeeper. This is Robert Sanchez. He's young and ambitious. He is a huge talent. He did keep a clean sheet at Fulham. That was his first clean sheet since playing in the Premier League, just his second start, as we said earlier. He made a few good saves, one from Ruben Loftus-Cheek, another one from Ademola Lookman, but it's the one from Ivan Cavalheiro that I want to talk about, the tip over the bar, because his technique, his body shape was slightly different to what we normally see.
Yeah, it was unusual. It was. Just to touch on a few of those comments, I fully agree. If you were to design a goalkeeper, he is the perfect specimen in terms of the attributes that he has. I certainly agree with that. The saves he made were good. What we'll say is that we did a big thing on Quiven Kelleher, I think last week, and we touched on the fact that when you are entering a team, of course you have a flood of positivity that surrounds you. So he will be enjoying part of that at the moment as well, in that, of course, you want young goalkeepers that are coming into the team to be given that kind of backing. And naturally, saves are maybe over-exaggerated to an extent, which again, I have absolutely no problem with, because I think when a young goalkeeper is coming into the team, you need all the positivity that you can get. If you're going look at these saves in isolation, I think they were all good saves without being extraordinary saves. The tip over, the bit I will say is that technically it's unconventional. I would say that. Like, he's gone with the top hand, but rather than a top hand and kind of parrying it up and over, he's kind of like palmed it back on himself. It does look a little bit awkward, but ultimately it gets the job done.
Yep, indeed it did. We'll watch that one very, very closely as the weeks go on. Over to the Etihad. City 1, Man City 1. West Brom 1, the first goal that Man City have conceded in more than 10 hours of game time. But 'twas not about Edison. Oh no, we had a tweet in from Jacob Makinson who says, "Let's inflate Sam Johnston's value on the podcast." Love that from you, Jacob, because it was 26 shots, 7 on target. Only one slipped beyond Johnston, but 3 great saves towards the end of the game. What a performance.
Yeah, look, he's really hit a fine vein of form. I think the two saves with the feet in particular I want to touch on, just because you looked at them and they were brilliant balls in, and it was the speed at which he moved back to the line. And we say this a lot, get yourself back on the line, maximise your reaction time, get your set position correct. And I think if you were to pause it, when each of the headers were executed, his positioning is perfect. So had it had been around chest height or above him, he was in a nice position that he'd have been able to have got his hands up and made the save. Or if it was lower, he was able to move his feet. And the fact that he moved his feet so quickly, so efficiently, two brilliant saves, it has to be said. And once again, he's getting many headlines for the right reasons.
Yep, to the King Power, where Everton defeated Leicester by 2-0. And we were, don't want to say treated to, but we witnessed a rare Kasper Schmeichel error. He'd only conceded twice in the last 6 matches at the King Power. But the Richarlison goal, the look on his face suggested that he could have done better.
That's it. It was the look on his face. He knows instantly that he could have done slightly better. By the way, had he saved this, we'd have been talking about this in a positive light, because it was a firm strike right in the corner. He gets himself down well. And this is where goalkeeping for me is a game of centimetres. It just doesn't quite hit the right part of the hand. If it does, it goes round the post. Didn't quite get enough contact. And it's one of those horrible ones that just creeps in the corner. And you can see the look of anguish on his face, knowing that somebody of his calibre, ordinarily, he does save that, and it is very rare. You know, I think we've probably mentioned one other Kasper Schmeichel mistake on this podcast in the last 2 years. It's very, very rare, and certainly one he'll be disappointed with. But knowing him as we do, he'll bounce back instantly.
Yeah, Scott Loach said the same on Twitter, said, "I can't actually remember the last time that Kasper Schmeichel made an error." Mike D at Blue Scouser also flagged the two saves he made prior to the second goal. He parried the header from Michael Keane, then the effort from Dominic Calvert-Lewin, which he diverted onto the bar. So unlucky that Mason Holgate was there to knock it in.
Two brilliant saves. Yeah, the first one, great reaction. Again, he retreated to his line. Good set position, body weight forward, gets himself to his left. Excellent save. And the second one's phenomenal. How he gets it up onto the bar. But again, it counts for very little. I know we're going to talk about a Neil Etheridge penalty save, which was brilliant. And he actually made the comment in a tweet that he sent out, was that it does count for very little when you don't get the result. And it's the same here. You lose the game 2-0. Probably feels he could have done better with the first as well. So no doubt he'll be walking off the pitch in a disappointed manner.
just quickly to go back to the first goal, I feel, Richard, that the tide might be turning. Phil Neville and Emil Heskey were the pundits for this game, and they focused more on James Justin and Youri Tielemans not being stern enough in their defending. Should have been better defending, said both of them. Dion Dublin was the same in the Amazon Prime studio, as was Tim Sherwood. Robbie Savage did say, the classic line, "I'm not a goalkeeper, so I can't comment," but he did get a hand to it. But I do feel like it's turning. Ali McCoist, in Liverpool's victory over Spurs, Hugo Lloris made a save, and he said, "I have to tell you, that is a better save than it looked." Firmino had an effort palmed away by Lloris down to his right, and Ali McCoist recognised that actually it wasn't just a routine save. There was also, and this hasn't really been shown anywhere else, Alisson may have made an incredible stop to deny Harry Kane late on in that one. It may have been VAR for handball and offside, but still, no one really referenced it. But Ali McCoist again said, "I think he's made a great save there." So the tide is slightly turning, Richard. We're getting there. I mean, it's nothing to do with us. Or maybe it is. Who knows? Slowly but surely, pundits are starting to recognise a little bit more about goalkeeping. But just to finish on this game, Jordan Pickford was left on the bench again by Carlo Ancelotti. Robin Olsen came in. The same stuff from Ancelotti, just giving him a rest.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously did it before and he put him straight back in at the weekend. It looks like that's exactly what's going to happen again here. The fact that they've had a win and a clean sheet, a big win as well, it's fair to say. It must be interesting from Robin Olsen's point of view, because you come in for a game like this, you win, you keep a clean sheet, and then you're being taken back out the team again. Is it a case of he is going to get more and more game time and eventually that transition's going to happen and he will end up being number one? It's just very strange. You haven't seen it, or certainly I haven't seen it before, or not that often, that you would put a goalkeeper in or give a goalkeeper a rest. It's unusual to me.
It's a really curious case. I mean, you do look at their fixtures. He said he's going to come back in at the weekend. They've got Arsenal at home in what is a big game. And then they've got the big EFL Cup clash with Manchester United. So, you know, maybe he's looking at those. But you also think, I can't recall this ever happening before where the England number one, the certified England number one, is taken out of the team as much, I say as much, twice as Jordan Pickford has. I can't recall a situation like this happening before.
No, I can't. I mean, guys, if you can and you've got any other examples where you've seen something like this or it's worked, then by all means, let us know. I mean, logically, there is some theory behind it, you know, in that there are so many games in such a short period of time. And of course, goalkeepers, it's not like, yes, our work is very different to what the outfield players do. And we're not necessarily working as hard in an aerobic capacity, but of course, we are working in different ways, certainly mentally more than anything. So whether it is a case of that, and he has touched on Jordan Pickford's mentality before, whether he sees it in that way, that to get the best out of him, he is best having these little breaks from time to time and giving himself more time to build up to the next game. There might be an argument in that, given Jordan Pickford's personality. I'm not sure, but it is unusual.
Richard, guess what?
What, Matthew?
It is time.
Indeed it is. It is time for the Championship Rundown. Another full list of fixtures on Tuesday and Wednesday. And we start at QPR. They had a 0-0 draw with Stoke. That is the fifth clean sheet in eight games for Mr. Joe Bursic. Another clean sheet for Senny Dieng. And a fantastic save to speak of as well with his right hand. Really making a name for himself, it's fair to say, this season. Senny Dieng, of course, has stepped in for Joe Lumley, who was largely the regular last season. And he's doing very well. But brilliant save down to his right-hand side. A reaction save where he was able to get his right hand to it. Looked like it was heading into the bottom right-hand corner. But the speed at which he was able to move, get a firm right hand, and then cleared off the line in that one. Bournemouth with a 1-0 win over Wickham. Yet again, another big save from Asmir Begovic to his left-hand side. There was an excellent save from Ryan Allsop in this one as well. The impressive thing for me about this particular save was the fact that he got down to the header as well as he did, made a brilliant save, but then when the ball was free, he had the speed of thought in order just to kick it out for a corner. Otherwise, it could well have been a dangerous situation. Bristol City 0, Millwall 2. Great save from Bajakowski in this one. I want to touch on, because it was a free kick from out wide. Ordinarily, you would have two in the wall. But for those that haven't seen this, I'll try and describe where the ball was. It was kind of on the corner of the 18-yard box. Now, the interesting thing for me here was that Bristol City had two men over the wall. They had a right footer and a left footer. So the fact that they only went with two in the wall kind of meant that the right footer, the wall then wasn't in play. Because essentially, Bajakowski had set his wall up correctly for the left footer, for the one that he might have whipped into that near post. But unfortunately, the right footer still was able to curl it round the wall and put it right into that bottom corner. Now, thankfully for Bajkowski, he was able to get across and make a very, very good save. I just wonder if this goes in, whether we're talking about this as potentially an error. What I would say is I think when you've got two people taking a free kick, you've got a right footer and a left footer in this position, I would argue that maybe you'd have three in a wall. People might say that's too many for it being out wide in the way that it was, but I just think that having the ability to curl it both ways, you need to cut off that near post. Over to the City Ground, a big win for Nottingham Forest, winning 2-0 against Sheffield Wednesday, who are struggling, it is fair to say. Watford 1, Brentford 1. Of course, I was at this game. A quick word on both goalkeepers here. Two very capable goalkeepers, of course. Ben Foster, we know all about. He was very, very good on the night. David Raya as well. A couple of moments of brilliance from David Raya. One in particular, he's come and collected a cross, side volleyed it, almost in one movement. A real thing of beauty. If you get a chance to see that, you have to watch it. Again, a goalkeeper that really plays on the front foot. And that ability to put strikers in with that side volley is a huge weapon that they have. Interestingly, the two goals in this game, both penalties. Troy Deeney doing, of course, what Troy Deeney does, smashing it down the middle. And then you had Ivan Toney, who the technique for me is unsavable when it's done correctly. I did call it before the game with the work that I was doing for Watford. I said that if Troy Deeney gets a penalty, he will miss one of the next few because goalkeepers know exactly what's going to come. And at the moment, yes, they're going in, but David Raya again was only inches away from saving this. What I would say is the force at which he hits it, when he gets it wide of the goalkeeper, of course, it is unsavable. But you just feel at some point soon a goalkeeper will make a save from a Troy Deeney penalty. Moving on to Wednesday, Derby beat Swansea 2-0. We cursed Freddie Woodman. We're going to be talking about that shortly. Cardiff with a big win against Birmingham, 3-2. It was nearly Neil Etheridge who was the hero here at 2-1. Neil Etheridge makes a fantastic penalty save down to his left-hand side. It was going right in the corner. How he got there, I'll never know. And for him, it must have been so disappointing to concede the 2 goals late on. Otherwise, I'm sure that would have been a nice one against his old club. Middlesbrough beating Luton 1-0. Bettinelli with an interesting evening. Again, another clean sheet for Bettinelli. He really is flying this season. Actually fumbled a ball which led to a penalty. The penalty, it was another one of those situations where it's come off both feet, so therefore it wasn't given. And then after that, made a brilliant save towards the end. Last minute of the game, down to his left, plunged down, big left hand, preserved their lead and another 3 points for Middlesbrough. Blackburn winning 2-1 against Rotherham, a last minute winner here. Coventry 0, Huddersfield 0, a clean sheet for Ben Wilson in this one, which is a second clean sheet since he stepped in from Rossi, and they are now unbeaten in 6 games. Reading 1, Norwich 2. Two excellent saves from Raphael in this one. Both very similar saves from Pukki. The first one off Pukki's knee, tipped it over the bar. Again, we talk about it a lot where he got himself back on the line, body weight forward. It was the speed at which he moved from the position he was in back to the line to take up the optimum position. Great save. And a very similar save minutes later from Pukki, where once again retreated to the line. Brilliant save over the bar. But it wasn't enough as Norwich went on to win that 1-2-1.
Wow, Richard, a comprehensive championship rundown from you this Thursday. Very, very good stuff. Just a couple of bits to touch on. Marcus Bettinelli, you mentioned there. I've never seen one man appeal so frantically like Bettinelli did after that penalty went in. It was like his body was moving too fast for his legs. It was ridiculous. But incredible as well. That's happened now twice in a month.
I know. I feel like I've never seen it before, or certainly haven't seen it that often. And it's like buses, Matthew. That's what the expression is, right? It's like buses.
Go on. What's the expression?
That's the expression. It's like buses.
Yeah. What's the expression?
Oh, I don't know. Is there more to it?
You don't just say it's like buses.
What do you say?
Well, what's that in reference to then? Go on.
They don't come for a while and then two come at once.
Right. Okay. Better. Is okay, that you've elaborated there. It.
Yeah. Anyway, it's like buses. So this has happened. But what I would say from Bettinelli's point of view, and I'm so glad that he did what he did, was that it did spark the rest of his teammates to do the same thing. And they made such a big deal of it that in the end, it was overturned and it wasn't given. I wonder, if he doesn't complain, do they give the goal?
Good point. And he did it straight away, by the way. He noticed it. The one that Tim Krul conceded, he didn't appeal straight away. He did cotton on to it about 5 or so seconds later. But Bettinelli, as soon as it hit the net, he knew straight away what had happened.
And I think the fact that he went as quickly as he did to the referee, he got all of his teammates involved, made it a real big deal. I think then suddenly the referee is then questioning himself. I think the referee gives that if Bettinelli doesn't do what he does. Now, look, I might be doing a disservice to the referee there, but I certainly think from a goalkeeper's point of view, a nice learning point, really. I think if you know and you are so adamant, it's worth making a huge deal of it, because in a situation like this, you can imagine the referee will have gone back in his mind over what had just happened and considered how the ball found its way to the net, and no doubt would have questioned the decision.
Yep, Neil Etheridge, who you mentioned, back to his penalty-saving ways. Mm. Do you remember the stat about Neil Etheridge at the start of, not last season, but the season before?
Go on, Matthew.
Only the second goalkeeper to save a penalty in his first two appearances in the Premier League. Oof. The first being?
No idea.
Eric Tortsved.
Well, there you go.
Of Tottenham Hotspur.
Last of the past.
Of course, it was his first two appearances in the Premier League, Tortsved, but not his first two appearances in the top flight. So I think Etheridge actually holds the record for being the only goalkeeper in his first two appearances in the top flight. But you have to go right down the history books to find out whether that one is definitely that one. Watford-Brentford, you were at the game, like you said. That penalty, I know we've spoken about Troy Deeney penalties many times on this podcast, but it looked like he was having some verbals with David Raya. When he scored, he went right in Raya's face and basically said, yeah, there you go. You thought it was going to happen. It did happen and I still scored. So have that. This penalty, I said it last time, is he now the greatest penalty taker in the world? Because goalkeepers know exactly what it is that he's going to do. He's not even mixing it up now.
Yeah, my prediction is he's going to miss one in the next couple. So no, I'm not a massive fan of the way in which he takes a penalty. Like, as a goalkeeper, I'd much prefer to face a penalty from him than a penalty from Ivan Toney or Lyle Taylor, for instance, because I think what they do requires so much skill to be able to walk up to the ball in the way they do, watch the goalkeeper, put it in the other corner. For me, I think it's unsavable. I know as a goalkeeper, I would never, ever save one of their penalties. Troy Deeney, I back myself to save one in two, one in three, just because I think that providing it's around me.
One in two, one in three.
Look, and I think the goalkeepers that have faced them recently, they'll be frustrated because, look, they are unsavable because of the power and the fact that it hasn't quite gone where he's aiming. He's just trying to smash it down the middle. Now, the fact that it's gone half a yard either side is ultimately the reason that he scored. I'm not a big fan of that penalty technique. I'm a big fan as a goalkeeper because I do think he's giving goalkeepers a chance.
But David Raya is a very good goalkeeper and that ball went right through him. Went right through him. He knew exactly what Troy Deeney was going to do. So he had all the preparation. He anticipated what was going to happen, but he still couldn't save it.
And I think on another day he does save it. I think that's the point. I think that he would have been really annoyed with himself afterwards because I think another day that hits him on the leg and balloons 40 yards out of play. It's just one of those things. And that's where I think there's an element of luck. Yes, he's hitting it with incredible force, but he is giving goalkeepers a chance. So I'm going to put it out there right now that I do think within the next, let's say, two penalties, I think one will be missed.
Oh, okay. Look forward to that one. Can we finish on Stoke City? Mm. Quite an incredible record in terms of clean sheets. 8 clean sheets now in their last 10 games away from home. Furthermore, I think it's 26 games in total this season that they've played. 14 clean sheets in total. They've utilised 3 goalkeepers, Adam Davies, Angus Gunn, and now Joe Bursic. It's an incredible record.
Yes, phenomenal. It really is. Defensively, and you look where they were last season, where they are this season, they've made huge strides. Credit to Michael O'Neill. I think defensively, they've really shored things up. And you've touched on the goalkeepers there. I think off the top of my head, I think it was Adam Davies with 4, Joe Bursic with 3. Is that right? And of course, Angus Gunn has 1 as well. And, you know, and you've got goalkeepers that are playing very well. And I think that last season, of course, Jack Butland played the majority of the season, had a bit of a tough time. I think he would admit that himself. And, you know, he's got a fresh start now, which is great for him. But I think you have got goalkeepers there who are in fine form. And Matthew, you know what time it is now, don't you?
Go on.
It's time for Best of the Rest.
Right, okay, the EFL rundown. Are we going to continue with this? Are we moving forward?
Yeah, every week.
Okay. Yeah. Right, Chris Maxwell, an assist, the Blackpool goalkeeper, an assist for Keshi Anderson in Blackpool's win over Hull. He also ran the length of the pitch to celebrate the winner at the death. Love to see that. Craig McGillivray and Jason Lutweiler, both standing strong in a goalless draw at Fratton Park between Portsmouth and Fleetwood. Lutweiler, in this one, made a very good save from a Marcus Harness deflected cross.
Yeah, he did. And the difficulty in this save is that, of course, you set and you react to the initial cross. And it was the speed at which he was able to change his positioning. Big hand. And also the awareness as to where the goal was. Because I think when the ball's going up over your head like that and you're not necessarily balanced or set in the way you want to be, to have the awareness to get the angle of your hand to palm it away from goal, very impressive.
Kieran O'Hara, the Burton goalkeeper, perhaps could have done better with the opener from Keenan Bennett. Burton lost to Ipswich. Bennett went across him, and I feel like maybe he could have done better, but he then could have done a lot worse when denying Caden Jackson, who attempted to go inside of him, but was denied by O'Hara's strong left hand.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Matthew. No, brilliant save it was at the near post. Took up a good position. Quick movement with his left hand. Firm hand to put it round the post. The goal itself, actually, just touching on what we spoke about earlier with Jordan Pickford with the arm swing and going into a bit of detail there. I think when you're to look at this and you look at the moment the ball is struck and then you look at the moment that it's near him, there is quite a lot of arm movement. He doesn't quite time it. You feel like he's centimetres off getting it correct and putting it round the post. You could argue slight similarities to the Kasper Schmeichel one, a different type of shot, granted, but similarities in that he isn't quite able to get the angle he wants to put it round the post.
Yeah, Paul Farman backpedalling to keep out George Lapsley's surprise volley on the angle in Carlisle's subsequent victory over Mansfield. James Belshaw with an unorthodox save of sorts, I think, from Jack Sparks' free kick, helping Harrogate to a massive win at Exeter. And you just cannot believe it. Owen Dale with another spawny deflected effort, this time beating Michael Cooper in Crewe's win over Plymouth. How many more weeks can Owen Dale score a spawny goal? Plymouth, by the way, have lost six on the bounce now. They've conceded 17 in that time, whereas Newport goalkeeper Nick Townsend was at the ready again. A save from an Ian Henderson penalty with what would have put Salford 2-0 up. A double save after that as well. Very important as they then equalised with a 94th minute penalty. They've only conceded six goals at home this season, Newport County. That is the fewest in the division. He's in competition with Tom King, who was the first choice last season. But Townsend has been given a run this season and he's making the most of it.
He is. Tom King, of course, who was called up to a Welsh squad as well recently. Very, very good goalkeeper. Absolutely, Nick Townsend's flying, it's fair to say. And I think we've mentioned him a few times now on the podcast. In fact, that's two in a row. We talk about those that get the magic three in a row. That's certainly two in a row for him. And loads of good things I'm hearing about Nick Townsend. It's nice. And you often see this when a goalkeeper who was number two at Barnsley for a long period of time, had a few chances at Barnsley, but was never really able to lock down that position as an outright one. But how often do we see it that when a goalkeeper is given the backing by a manager, allowed to play game after game after game, build that CV, build a season, and really hit their very best form? And certainly for Nick Townsend, from what we're seeing, you get the impression that he isn't going to stay in League Two for long.
Perhaps we're inflating that value.
Indeed.
Richard, lastly in the EFL, Sam Russell, who we spoke about on the last podcast as well. Greg Halford's header in the game between Southend and Grimsby. What happened here? Can we blame the pitch?
We will blame the pitch. Friend of the show, Sam Russell, that helps. But no, look, you could see the disappointment on Sam's face. But it's difficult to see because of the camera angle being what it is. And of course, with a lot of these games, you only get one camera angle. Now, we could see that the goal mouth isn't great. It reminded me of those old school goal mouths I'm sure a lot of you can relate to. You know, when you turn up to a pitch as a goalkeeper, there's nothing worse than when you turn up, you walk to have a look at the goal mouth and there's just a huge puddle in the 6-yard box. And you know that's going to be where you're going to be operating for the afternoon. And it kind of reminded me of that a bit. It didn't look great. The ball's been headed down into that area and it obviously just hasn't bounced as it should have bounced. And then it's a hard one to react as quick as you need to in order to get down lower to make the save. But of course, no doubt he'll be disappointed with it. You could see in the moment that he was disappointed. But it's one of those things, the life of a goalkeeper.
Another gent we spoke about on the last podcast, Richard Petacek. We said that he was going to be in for that Premier League 2 clash between Chelsea and Spurs. We did speculate as to why he was coming into the team. It was revealed later that day that he was named in the squad because they didn't want regular under-23s goalkeeper Lucas Bergstrom to play twice in the space of 48 hours. So in Petacek came, quite a dramatic evening for him.
It was a crazy game. They went 2-0 down. He had a couple of tough moments early on, it's fair to say. And actually, the opening goal, 3 minutes in, it was Petacek trying to play out to the right back. And he's kind of pulled his pass out for a corner, kind of reminiscent to one that seemingly got way too much publicity when he was playing for Arsenal a couple of years back. But anyway, pulled out from corner. Of course, they score from the resulting corner. They go 2-0 up soon after, but then stage dramatic comeback, winning the game 3-2. Brandon Austin, interestingly, was in goal for Tottenham, of course, a young Tottenham goalkeeper, and he did get his gloves after the game, which was very nice.
Very nice. Good stuff. He did say on Instagram, Petr Cech, that it felt so strange for the first 20 minutes as my match system I used to have while playing regularly was missing. But as the game went on, the feeling returned and the match system reappeared. So that was nice to hear. There was also a ridiculous moment later on in that game, a scrap between Alfie Devine, the Spurs youngster, and Danny Drinkwater, the not so young Chelsea player. And this brawl ensued, and it was just great to watch Petr Cech look from afar and think, oh God, I've got to go over there. And he sort of hobbled over and got involved in this melee. You can imagine at that point he's thinking, what am I doing here? Did you ever get yourself involved in a brawl of any sort, Richard, as a player?
I was a lover, not a fighter, Matthew.
Okay, we'll move swiftly on from that one because it is time for this. Okay, it is Rate My Save. Richard, this one was sent in by a gent named Hovarth Bruno. He's 22 years old and he plies his trade in the Hungarian second division. Here he is playing for Lombard Papa against Keruleti, I believe, is the other team. He sent his save in for you to rate. This is the first time that you're seeing it. I'm just going to swivel it around now. And okay, here we go.
Ball whipped in, header. Oh, ha, ha. Okay, I'm going to try and describe this save. That is a fantastic save. So it's a ball crossed to the far post, header going in the top corner. The speed, the reaction, the power that he's able to get up into the top right-hand corner, get his right hand to it. That is a fantastic save.
Good save, Hovarth Bruno.
Yeah, it really is. Look, do you know, this is the kind of save that, you know, we often talk about great saves. In fact, one of our questions that we give on the podcast, our feature podcast that we do with our guests, we always ask them what their favourite save is. Not necessarily the most memorable save. And the reason we ask that is because sometimes the greatest save you've ever made isn't in the biggest game or at the greatest moment. But you imagine a save like that, and for you guys that haven't seen it, again, to describe it, cross to the far post, header, it looks for all the world that it's going in the top corner, springs up to his right-hand side, big right hand in order to get it up over the bar, looks really extravagant as well, like the power needed in order to make a save. That, for me, is the kind of save that if that's made in the last minute of a Premier League game, the last minute in a massive game between Liverpool and Man City, we're talking about that for months.
Yes, very good point, Richard. We will put that out on our Twitter so you can have a look at it for yourself. And if you'd like your save featured, if you'd like your save rated more to the point by Richard, hashtag rate my save on Twitter at GKUnion. Hello at goalkeepersunion.net or even by our new phone number, which is, Richard?
Ah, yes, indeed, our new phone number. How do you want me to read it out this time?
Just normally, please.
Normally? Oh, okay. Fine. 07503 673 020.
Lovely. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Keepers
away.